NZ On Air Music presents Long Player.
1, 2, 3.
Hi,
we're Greco-Romanc. I'm Damien.
I'm Billy.
I'm Mike.
And we're talking about our album Red Tower.
Have made a big splash on the scene. Everyone's talking about your live shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it your splash noise?
It's my splash. I couldn't do it. I got a dry mouth.
Shh. Maybe that's a splash.
Can you do it? Yeah.
But yeah, now you finally have treated your fans. Yeah, now you've got an album out.
Mm-hmm.
Red Tower. Where did that name come from?
Mikey read that in a book that we were passing around. Written by Thomas Ligotti when we were recording a bunch of the album stuff, and that was a phrase that stuck out to him. There's a story in there that features a red tower.
Red Tower is a lyric that we've lifted from Leathery Coward, the song.
And so Red Tower was just one of the lyrics that kind of like stuck out for us. What does it mean? Who's in the red tower? Can you get up the red tower, and will you leave the red tower? Or will you lick the rooms clean inside?
How did Greco-Romanc find your voice?
I think it kind of started, I would say, with Damien, sort of.
I was born.
Yeah, Damien was born. And you kind of have like a sort of a metal influence in a way, so like that would be the link, I suppose, there. But but in terms of how we found our sound, you started making beats and everything and then kind of brought in Mikey because he's a natural born front man, and that seemed to not really occur to anyone else.
Mikey is known for playing in the Drab Doorriffs and Blue Bloods and the Bib Kids and lots of other bands, and I sort of knew him from way back, and we, you know, did lots of musically related stuff. I recorded bands for years, and
it was an explorative friendship.
Yeah, we basically wanted to emulate the success of Yellow and write, that song, Oh Yeah. That's our band goal, that and playing
you
The
can
Gathering.
You can be the Greco to my Romanc.
Yeah. So it's kind of like Mikey, I was saying to you before, Jess, that he's got a conceptual art background, and so that's sort of how he tends to approach things in this kind of tangent that is hard to really explain. But I'm very practical and, like, you know, efficiency-oriented. And so somehow there's this clash of these two things. And I always thought Mikey shouldn't be behind drums. He should be behind a microphone. And Billy's an amazing singer. I was like, fuck, that is a resource I got to, like, really use, you know. Billy's, you know, an amazing singer. But slowly I'm kind of, like, trying to always push the band a little bit closer to, you know, my kind of love for old-school thrash roots. And they keep resisting it. And then Greco-Romanc comes out in the middle and is this sort of weird thing that sounds a little bit like Scatman mixed with, you know, industrial techno. And then there's this sort of weird, I don't know, Bogan element or something.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of makes up what we do.
One of the things we always will, like, is I think probably key to our sound in terms of vocals is we always sing in our New Zealand accents because... And I think that gives everything a different quality. Like, I don't know.
It's not because we're proud of who we are. It's because we want you to know how ashamed we should be.
Yeah.
One of the prerequisites before we even started writing, Damien forced me, actually, he handed me the KLF book written by John Higgs, and that, you know, Chaos Magic, the band who burnt a million pounds, and I had to read that before we could commence
Yeah, I mean, if it's not obvious, we're massive fans of the band, the KLF. The sound, this, you know, the thing that they do is just very consciously and without shame just grabbing popular elements of, you know, contemporary music at that time and space and just, like, forcing it into this kind of hole and making the sound. And, you know, it's all part of this head game that they were playing with the public, and, you know, maybe we're playing a head game as well with the public.
What's the first track you want to talk about?
I'm gonna just jump in and say let's do Greek Fire.
What can you tell me about that one?
Greek Fire is it's one of the early ones that kind of Mikey brought to us, an obsession of his at the time, which was Greek Fire.
Well, I mean, it was.
He's going to read to you from his book of notes.
No, basically just looked up Greek and then found Greek Fire, and I'd never come across what Greek Fire is, and it's this unknown source of military technology that the Greeks used.
Well, what is Greek Fire, Michael?
Greek Fire is a combination of chemicals and agents that come together and form a incendiary weapon, which you can't put out. It's a fire that once it's lit, it burns all the chemicals until it's completely exhausted, and it melts faces.
He had to memorize a speech.
I haven't.
And that's what starts the song off. It's all these, like, facts about warfare around the world throughout the ages and how the Greeks utilized Greek fire, and no one knew its secrets.
Machines of death are usually surrounded by myth and fable, spin and propaganda, perpetuated by the inventors to terrify the enemy. We still don't know what Greek fire is. We do know that it scared the living daylights out of the Bulgarians, the Russians, the Arabs, and the Turks for 1,000 years. It was one of the greatest systems in the history of warfare because nobody penetrated its secrets.
Can I chime back and just iterate here that we are not into militarism, and we're actually the opposite.
Thank you.
So the next track is Taking the Auspices.
We went down in lockdown to...
We're very legal. No, it's true, it's true.
Yes, in lockdown. Right. We went down to Billy's parents' farmhouse in central Otago in Tarras, and this is where the majority of this album was written. And each morning I'd go outside and sit outside with a coffee and try and bang out some ideas and a number, and there was a lot of hawks present in this beautiful scenery up by the Clutha River, the mighty Clutha, and all the hawks squawking, and they commanded my attention, and naturally started thinking about how
I could write a song about this.
Yeah, how birds have helped guide people. When they need guidance, and
because it's like a fortune telling tradition, right?
Yeah.
And
an auger.
I simply Googled Etruscan religions and how they took the auspices from.
What's an auspice?
An auspice is a sign, a signifier of a call to action or a call to.
It's. They don't gut the birds and read their entrails. That's different.
No, that's different. That's in the same. That's the same group of
my tippy
Etruscan religion. They do.
But the song's not about entrails. It's about falcons.
It's about hawks flying through the sky, and then augurs, who are the fortune tellery people, interpret the patterns.
Yeah.
And where the birds are going, and then that you know that predicts a fortune. You know, it's like a good omen, a bad omen, etc.
Falling into an empty sky. Thank you. Exavibus. Gero.
Next track is Fungal Descent.
So, Fungal Descent, this is our, it's kind of a Gabba track, eh? The Gabba beat? It's technically
got,
a Gabba
it's
beat.
It's got some hard unst.
Yeah, it's got some, it's some unst. And we tend to finish our live set at the minute at least with this one, and it tends to go off. It's really quite a lot of fun. And this one was written again in Taras, so Central Otago, and it kind of started with a lot of just phrases that we thought were fun or interesting or weird that didn't really fit into other songs, and we kind of collaged them together. And then we started to see these sorts of patterns emerging, which it sort of started to look and feel like the feeling of lockdown level 4, where you can just sort of like feel yourself becoming a bit abject and disgusting in your own, like, I don't know, just, yeah, just your standard slip. That's kind of what it feels like, so that's why it's a descent. I don't know.
It's not art. It's not art.
It's barbecue pork.
It's one of there's no like chorus. So we don't really do choruses. I think we do. It does it. It's whatever is of interest at the time that like we're trying to like use in a composition tends to influence what we're doing. And this is a classic Greco thing where there's like an idea. The idea is established, it's a verse, and then it never comes back to it. It just goes to, like, scene B, scene C, and, it just doesn't look back at stuff. And I kind of like that. I don't see why music, you know, you have to go backwards and forwards, chorus, verse, blah, 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 blah. And then the song was actually a failure because I tried to write a sort of a hard-style Gabba beat, and then it just sort of became this crazy unison chanty thing that's quite aggressive, but people love it. It's really fun to play at the end of the set.
Injected into your neck. Hallelujah, it's through it hard.
Bigger and stronger.
No, it's not too
spicy
for me.
However, they are happy to finish off the remains.
Go on.
This number is Get to Work.
Tell the story, Michael, of the lyrics, which is a few.
Get to Work was written sitting in a bus, and as a bus driver, and I was sitting...
He was driving the bus.
I was driving the bus, singing to myself. This is very early stages of Greco songwriting by myself on a bus, trying to come up with some lines and just repeated Get to Work with certain syncopation, and it found a rhythm and bounced it off the guys. And
when I get to work, I get to work. It's genius. Yeah. I love it. I think it's fucking hilarious.
He sent a video of himself in the driver's seat of the bus saying that, and we just lost it, eh? It was just like, that's...
It's classic great. Mikey. It's like, that's why we want to be in a band with him. It's just oozing real Mikey. I don't know.
And then we switched it up to some sort of sexy libidinal thing where, you know, turn around, I get to work, leg over.
We go to town.
So we do a lot of dualism within...
And a little
so
wordplay.
Yeah.
Mm. A little bit of wordplay.
But it's like erotic Marxism or something. So that's the result. An erotic Marxist anthem. And then so that was the start of it. And then my I guess you could call it the chorusy bit. I don't know, the sung bit.
We don't do choruses. It's definitely chorus.
We kind of wanted that to be like this big kind of a disco feeling, eh? Like that sort of Donna Summer, like, wah, up the top.
It's ethereal and hot.
Breathless.
And the lyrics to that part are bitter and gifted because...
Yeah, like it's not a sexy lyric or anything, so it's great. I love it.
Yeah. But it's just about, like, I don't know, just working. Just capitalism.
When I get to work, I get to work. When I get to work, I get to work, I get to work, I get to work. When I get to work, I get to work, I get to work. When I get to work, I get to work, I get to work, I get to work. When I get to work, I get to work, I get to work. Work, I get to work. Work, I get to work. When I get to work, I get to work, I get to work, I get to work. When I get to work, I get to work, I get to work. When I get to work, I get to work, I get to work, I get to work. When I get to work, I get to work, I get to work. When I get to work, I get to work, I get to work, I get to work. When I get to work, I get to work, I get to work. Work, I get to work.
This old track is Worm Regenerate. I'm a big fan of the song. This was fun. This was fun to write because Mikey found some lyrical cues that were quite a lot of fun from me watching an X-Files episode. But it's a thing we do. We'll, you know, have a a couple of books open while we're watching stuff, and then just taking down snippets of dialogue, things that people are saying, your, you know, interpretation of the scene. Then it gets washed through the Mikey filter, and it comes back out while I'll be playing with sort of a beat, an idea or whatever. And this just had a plotting kind of... I've got to stop saying that we're plotting, but it was just a neat style to perform. And it was a good opportunity to have these guys sing in unison and then get that weird sandwich come together that is the voice of the two of them. Like, it's quite unusual. What I always like when I hear the song first start up is that you, if you listen very closely, which no one will, but you can hear sheep bleating in the background. So we recorded the entire album at a primary school in the South Island. It was awesome. Like, it, you know, functions not as a primary school, but it was a space that we were like, let's take our album, let's record somewhere else. And we were surrounded by, we are in New Zealand, but I mean, like, this was like sheep,
like, everywhere.
Utopia. It was just everywhere. And I was like, oh man, this is going to screw the recordings up. We're going to have just sheep bleating everywhere. But it turns out it's great. So there's always like a little bit of ghost sheepiness inside every single bit of vocal that's on the album. And that was fun because it was the first song that we recorded when we were recording the album in Beaumont. Things were free, COVID had passed. You know, I think we got into our first stage one or whatever.
Yeah.
And it just felt good to be there doing nothing but focusing on music. So yeah, I always feel good when I hear that song.
Bias account.
Longplayer. Thanks NZ On Air Music.